So now we're going to do something which is, hold on, let me just get my... This morning, I get the Wall Street Journal. As a fundraiser MG, I got to know how our wealthy people are doing. And who are the wealthy people? And if any of the people that are friends of us are, you know, anybody in the news. So, anyways, you know, it's also fairly pro-Israel, which is pleasant. So I have the personal journal section. I'll show you the article called Lies, Damned Lies, and Lies You to Tell Your Spouse. So basically, this article by Elizabeth Bernstein, I'll just read you a little section. And basically, in her article, they go talking about how people in relationships, husbands and wives, girlfriends and boyfriends, what are the kind of, what they call white lies, do they tell each other to, you know, in the relationship? So, here's a couple of good ones. A couple of good lies. I like this one. Right, press for specifics, my male source has finally owned up fudging the truth about working late, i.e. to meet friends at a bar, sneak into a ball game, or take a walk alone. They also said they fit about how much they drank at a party, how fast they drive, what they find female friends attractive, how much they... That's a big one. Only you, honey. After she changed 10 times, and then, of course, how much they like their significant other's cooking or outfits. As they say, after she changed 10 times, you'll say yes to anything to get out the door. Anyway, so, in the everyday life, lying is... It's a statement. So her basic point is that lying is a vital, necessary reality. So how does a terror look at lying? So what do you guys say?
Bad.
Sometimes
it's okay.
Sometimes it's okay?
It depends.
See, this guy is a bit of a dog. The answer is always, it depends. Okay, so we're going to analyze. Today, you will know how to lie a lot more accurately.
Yes!
What I'd like to achieve tonight, and if we have some time, we can do a little potpourri if you want, but we'll see, is what are the situations where, A, you may not lie, B, you may lie, C, you must lie. Okay? And you encounter this literally every day, so I can't think of a more practical thing than this. Okay? What are the principles that guide the decision, other than I want to avoid getting in trouble? You know, how's that? You took a 2-hour lunch break, and your boss says, "Well, where were you?" "Oh, I was at the office, the other office, and checking." You know, and you make up some lie about some business necessity. Is that allowed? I mean, obviously, you're doing that to say, you know, being reprimanded by your boss. So you're allowed to do that. The thought certainly crossed everybody's mind, for once or twice. You know, certainly with parents. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're younger, you know. So where were you? Oh, I was studying. Okay. A lot of studying going on. Anyway, so if you look in now, let's take a look at the Chumash. Shmos, I just put the pasuk right here on the sheet here. It says, pasuk in Mishpatim says, Midbar Sheker Kircha, distance yourself from a false matter or a lie. Okay, so that's it. V'nakiv et tzadik al tarog, ki lo atzdik rasha. And do not kill a truly innocent person or one who has been declared innocent, for I will not vindicate a guilty person. The context is the instruction to the court. But interesting, it doesn't say you should not lie. What's the key operative phrase there?
Distance.
Midvar sheker tircha. You should distance yourself. What is the number one deduction you must make?
There are times where you will lie.
But that's true.
Generally, stay away.
That's true. But what principle is it conveying here?
yourself involved in
Don't put yourself in a position.
Okay. That's good. That's a plausible reading. But that, you see that truth, MS, is not the absolute value. Because if it was, it'd be low to shaker. You know, do not lie. It doesn't say that. It says you should distance yourself from lying.
And sometimes you can get closer to lying.
There you go. Thank you, Michal. Well, let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask you guys, you're with a venerable group of esteemed fellows here. In our studies of Tanakh, who in the Tanakh lied?
Jacob.
Okay, let's go around. Okay. Yes. All right, just slam it on the good examples. Yeah, we'll go around. All right, the mic.
Jacob, the
Esau. Jacob, Esau. Yeah, he said, "Ani Esau Becheracha. I am Esau, your firstborn." That is a flat out lie. Okay. Okay, we'll go around the room. Mark Berger. Yeah, she's my sister. This woman is my sister.
Avram.
Plain shot. When he comes to Miss Ryan, and he comes to her, and they see how beautiful a woman Sarah is, and what does he say? She is my sister. And they take her into the royal harem. Because what would happen to him if he did not lie? They would kill him, then take her into the royal harem. Okay, what if, you know, they wanted to avoid that stop there. What else? Yes.
Does Cain lie to God
when
he asks?
Yeah, hey, Hevel Achicha, where's Hevel your brother? Shomer Achianochi, am I my brother's keeper? See, not the fan. I don't know where he is. Don't know where he is. Seems a little lost. Right, seems a little lost. 6 feet under. Right. Well, that I don't think you prove as being a case of legitimate lying. That is
Jesus.
Right. That is not a good lie. Yes.
Marvin,
and
that whole story.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of subterfuge there. All right, Marvin.
Yosef, with his brothers when he was the viceroy.
Well, he didn't say I'm not Yosef.
He himself though.
That's not the same thing. Well, that's a big question. Then we get to the finer points. Is lying omission or commission? Okay, good. All right, Michael Mell.
Did the snake lie? Did the serpent lie? I'm trying to remember. He said that you'll know the knowledge of good and evil.
He's killing you, dead to right. You'll be like lords, knower of good and evil.
Was that a lie or not? Right.
Well, that's an interesting question.
The snake actually told the truth, right?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Because everyone associates that by default as the snake.
Well, he was manipulating her.
True, but he didn't lie to her.
Well, interesting question.
He didn't.
He said to her, "If you touch, you will not die." Well, in fact, they didn't die. So, all right, that's a good question. That's a very complex. I'm not going to give an answer to that question.
But that's like the beginning.
Right.
So it's hard to get to anything else.
Well, my point is that the simple point I want to see is that Tanakh is filled with good people lying. That's clear.
And bad people lying.
And of course, bad people lying, right? So we have to know the difference. Yes, Raquel?
I think
we got the point. We don't have to beat it to, you know, to.
It's not a correct point. How about if I switch around? Joseph's brothers lying about him being killed to their father.
Right, that's a good one. Right, so that I don't think, you know, they do you recognize his garment? Right. So yes, they were hiding the fact that they had sold their own brother to slavery. Okay, so so I'm going to go into a Rambam here. So the Rambam has the issue of lying coming up in an interesting halacha. The law is like this. There's a mitzvah called Hashavat Aveda, to return a lost object. But if you were to lose an object and you want to claim it from somebody, you have to have some measure of proof. So one thing is saying that I have a siman, I have a sign on it. Underneath the box is my name engraved on it. Okay, that would be a good siman, a good sign. But there's something that you have, which looks like other stuff, but you recognize that there's a little smudge here and a mark there, but it's not a conclusive proof. And I said, well, that in fact is my BlackBerry. How do you, assume that's a good way to, can you prove that? Who do you trust? So the Rambam brings down the halacha that if a person is a Talmud Chacham who only lies in the following four cases, so that's a good way to understand the four cases where a person can lie. And what are the principles that we can extract from that? So he has four cases, which it sounds weird in English, so I'm going to read in Hebrew. So he says, Yom Lai B'divrei Shalom, which is everybody says Shalom Bayis, which we're going to have to analyze what that means. The Masechta, literally a tractate. The Mita, with a certain case of the bed. And the Bayishu Mitarehbo, in the house that he was a guest in. So I'm going to give you the case. I'm just going to go to the English here. Case number one. He doesn't explain, by the way, the case of Shalom Bayis, because that seems to be... no, you can actually get to that later. All right, first case. Person is learning... The case he has is a tractate of the laws of Nida. So somebody says, well, what are you learning? And he says, I am learning the tractate of Mikvaot, a different tractate. Why? Because in order that they should not ask him questions about that topic, which either he feels he's incapable of answering, whatever. So that he's allowed to flat out allowed to lie. So he's, you know, what are you learning? And then you just make something up. So they will not ask you. All right, so the question is, why is that allowed? Alright, that's point number one. Example number two. Weird. The guy asked you, this is a little bit adult, he asked you, what bed are you sleeping in? So he says, not that bed. So lest they find on it, it's going to be a little odd, nocturnal emission. Really doesn't want to be embarrassed. So it's a case of being lying to avoid embarrassment. Okay? Case number three. He says, where'd you go out for Shabbos? Okay? And he says, he was with Shimon, and he says, I was with the Reuven, in order that people should not bother going out, hacking that other person to be the host, in order to avoid massive host traffic. Or, oh, you've got to go over to such and such, they have the best food! But really, the person is lying, so the host or hostess will not be put upon to have to have a burden of constantly hosting people. Okay? You're lying in that case to avoid that person being put upon unnecessarily. Okay? That's the case number three. Case number four, which is everybody's case, to bring peace between two people. So therefore, he has a phrase. The hosif, he adds a little bit. Vigore, he omits. A little commission and a little bit of omission. Alright? So, in order that what? They should like each other. This is permitted. Okay, so we have to, what are the four categories? Let's start with the easy one. Let's start with the case of shalom between two people. What's the idea there?
The hello example, saying, oh, well, person A feels so terrible. Person B, A feels so terrible.
Right, because that will work. I mean, I know. Right, but I mean, but the principal point is to lie in order to bring about a reconciliation. Okay, but that's not only one case where people are fighting. Simple case, and I have some examples here. You know, you come home from work, you're exhausted. Okay, phone rings, and say your spouse picks up the phone, and they say, and the person says, "You know, is Ruth in?" And Ruth's going, she's giving the wave. Okay, now what are the two choices? She could say, "Bruce is in." However, she's had a long day, and quite frankly, you just do not rate for her to lift herself up from the deep place that she is in her couch right now. But if you call back later, she'll be sure to talk to you. Okay? Is that a way to... Will that create shalom?
No.
Why not? It's the truth.
They want to help the person.
Right. The person feels that they are what? Unspecial. They'll be...
Feeling that, why didn't you say what I... You know, why didn't you tell them what I wanted you to say?
Right. Correct. That's correct. So rather say, she's not in right now. She's out shopping. Let me take your number down. And she'll give you a buzz, but I'm not sure tonight, but possibly tomorrow.
To avoid hurting the other person's
feelings? What's the feelings here? Because the person's going to, if they say the truth, is that, say, look, she's had a rough day, and unless you're on fire, she does not want to speak to you, because whatever you're going to say, it's just not that important. And conversely, you're not that important. So, they can't handle that message. You're going to reduce their feelings of behavior and love. You should love your fellow Jew as yourself. There's no sense of being validated in that scenario, right? Is that clear? So you said, so wait now, let's make the big point here. Point number one. So you see, what is a higher principle than emes? Shalom. Shalom in not just in the home, but shalom in the community and in the civilization. In order for there to be a civilization, a community, society, a family, there has to be a certain amount of sense of connection and wealth and validation from each other. You know what I'm saying? If that's destroyed, it's over. Because if you said exactly, you know, about all these movies, like the person, liar, liar, he can't lie. So if you said everything you're thinking, like somebody says, you know, hey, real low, we shut the hell up. No. So if people were overtly honest of how they felt, there would be no relationships.
Like,
none.
Yeah.
None.
Right.
Zero.
Or they have the relationships, like in the movie, is like when they're trying to be all dramatic and show that, oh, the guy cheats on the woman, and the friend finds out of the woman and wants to tell the woman, oh, he's cheating on you, I see. I always am like, yeah, she should tell her.
Right.
Why does she want to?
Okay, good. All right, so now we're working our way in. That gets into the interesting case. So when one, let's, so that gets into the interesting question. When should a person tell something which will definitely decrease the shalom? But it needs to be said.
These are almost like the ones that Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right, we're moving right after Moshe Rabbeinu right now. Park in here. So this gets into all the nitty gritty interesting stuff. So let's say you find out about an affair. You telling or not telling?
How do you know the other person doesn't know already?
Let's make a routine case. You know that the person does not know.
You should tell them.
I don't think you should.
What about Shalom?
In this case, it's for the person better not to know. Unless your object is to destroy the other person as opposed to helping the person that is being cheated on, I think intent would matter there as well.
What about to tell the cheater? Say, hey, you know, you're not being that discreet. I'm actually being like quite serious. Like, you know, you're not being that discreet. Maybe this is something you should work on with your relationship with your significant other.
Well, isn't that just whimpering out that you don't want to tell your friend?
No, it's basically saying that I don't have any right to interfere in your relationship with this person.
Well, that's the question. Do you?
I think you have.
Holy Shrine, all Jews are bondsmen to each other, have responsibility. So if you see. Wouldn't you, if a person was in a similar situation, wouldn't, you know, Adrian Mova, you do unto others what you want done to yourself. Now, would you not want to know, you would not want to know that your significant other is cheating on you? Think about that real carefully.
Because then that's long-term for you and, because...
Personally, she already destroyed Sean Bias.
Okay, hold on. Okay, one at a time. All right, Raquel.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking from a legal perspective, unless you've actually seen them in the act, then technically maybe you shouldn't. Let's say most of it's from rumors.
You bring up a good
point. 99% of it.
Okay, Raquel, you bring a good point. You have to know, obviously, one does not make that announcement unless you are absolutely clear that you have a fact right. I agree with you. Let's say the person confided, I am cheating on your friend, or whatever. You find the person confessed to you, okay? And you believe them. So you keep the secret? Okay, so these are serious questions. Okay, yep.
I think a big part of it is whether this is a pattern or a one-time occurrence.
Yeah.
Because if it's a one-time thing, which you have a high degree of confidence will never happen again, do you introduce that destructive element into the relationship?
Okay, but we're assuming they're married, right?
Yes. Yeah, still, if people are in a committed relationship and then the person is, you know, going out.
They're in a committed relationship. Let's say the guy gets totally drunk one night and makes a big mistake.
Like in the case of the social element and all that.
Okay, all right. Let's make the key case here. Okay, let's just take the key case. So, what I'm pointing out to you is that this is a situation where you're going to have a collision of multiple values. You have MS, that's one value we saw. Two, we have shalom, to bring the social well-being in the family, in the community, in the society. We have lashon hara, another factor which is really breaking down the social societal bonds. How do these things work together? Okay, so we want to get there. Let's keep on let's keep on going. That's a good question. Yes, Michael Mill.
Didn't we learn from the way recollections For instance, in the case that you don't tell the person, some physical harm will come to them, Lashon Hara are not obligated to actually say something.
Correct. That's what these are working against.
There are strict parts of it. Aside from all of our opinions, there is...
Yes, well, that's what I'm being introduced to tonight. Yes, correct.
Who wrote those? Was it Rambam?
Lashon Hara, the idea of Lashon Hara is in the Chumash.
Not Lashon Hara specific, but... Those rules.
The one who wrote a comprehensive book is the Chofetz Chaim. Right, he wrote a book called Sefer Lashon Hara.
And that's the one that gives us the criteria to determine how to answer these questions, yes or no?
Yes, in part. Not everything, but a lot of them. Right. Okay, but I'm introducing a short version.
And that's where you're going.
Yes, in part. Not all. Not limited to that. For example, the simple case, what he deals with is like this. Person asks you, I'm interested in the way on this person. Is this person, they ask you all questions, trustworthy, intelligent, whatever, all the things, and you know, can you lie? You know, people, what you find here is an interesting situation. Where people should tell the truth, they lie, and where they should lie, they tell the truth. Okay? So, if a person wants to know, is there anything material about this person that I should know about before speaking to the other person, say the shadchan or the other friend, to go out with this person? And you know there is a profound problem. Okay? All right, let's say you know...
He's cheating.
Whatever. You know something objectively, but... What? Right. Okay. So that's
some big problem.
So you must tell her.
According to
everybody. Yeah. Not Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is communicating negative information for no objective reason to avoid a person being harmed. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. Lo samad al dam riecha. Do not stand idly by the blood of your friend, which means you cannot allow the person to get into a situation. Let's say a person is a chronic gambler, you know, has a fundamental psychological disorder. And you, wonderful guy, you're just schmoozing it all up, and meanwhile you're digging the person, you know, into the grave here. Okay, you must tell that person.
That's the answer to the previous question.
Going back to the cheating situation is true. Shalom is a variable, but the person's whole well-being, you know, is now how one should do that. The how is something separate. Maybe you don't just because the person should be notified doesn't mean that you need to do it. Maybe a rabbi, maybe somebody else. You know what I mean? That has to be done thoughtful. Everything has to be done with wisdom here. Nothing, you know, blurting things out here. So, anytime there's an objective. When a person's going to suffer an objective loss, forget Shalom, you got to tell them. Okay? So let's go back to our four cases. Let's go back to the Shalom here. Classic situation. A couple's going out to a wedding. Okay? And you're late. And you're about to step out the door, and she turns to you and says, honey, does this envelope make you look fat?
No.
The answer is no. Because really, assuming you can't do anything about that, you know what I mean? In other words, the people are hanging on the car and you're 55 minutes late, okay? Or you're already at the cinema, okay? Certainly at the cinema, that's for sure. You flat out lie. Yeah. And Shalom. Because okay, let's work this out logically. You know, honey, that makes you look a little hippie. What can she do about that now? You made her feel like garbage. She can't change the situation. And what if you, there's no material gain.
I agree with you, but where does it come from in the Torah? Who says this? Who gives the authorization?
The Rambam just read it to you.
That's exactly what Rambam says?
Yes, I'll read to you,
That's what I want.
Yeah, that you bring peace between two people, you add or subtract, in order for them to endear each other to themselves. Now the difference is you're doing it for the benefit of their emotions. not for you to get a material gain.
I feel like it's a fine line, though. If you're really
Before, then you would say, let's say before back in the house, you've not gone out. Then you can say, look, I don't think that's so flattering. I would suggest the other dress.
In order to save the embarrassment.
Well, it's not bad. It's you and your wife. It's not bad. No, exactly. I mean, if it's that bad, it's probably never that really that bad. She's not going to that bad. She probably would have never bought the dress in the first place. But, right.
You're obligated essentially to tell the truth because something can be done about it. That's what the mom's saying.
No, you're telling the truth. Yeah, because there's no problem with Shalom. You're because here you can do it in a way. Obviously, you do it in a sensitive way because there's a general obligation of being a honorary mom. You should love your fellow. She was yourself. Certainly applies to your wife. Or your spouse.
And this is in one of those brown books, right? Which one was this?
That's one edition that we gave.
One edition.
So do you understand that basic principle?
So now
let's go to another case. Lying for material gain. You're a salesperson. You know this product is going to help the guy out. But you need the commission.
Are you
typing?
It's
not helping the guy out?
It's not really what they fundamentally need. You say, you know, Howie, no. This software will revolutionize your business.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there a budget based on doing that?
Yeah.
A
white lie.
That's like the whole advertising world, isn't it?
Well, okay,
stuff
so
that
no,
don't really
now,
need.
Like, okay, so that is interesting. Correct. There's called thing called this is the new concept I'm sharing with you. It's called Geneva's Das of what you call in secular law of intentional fraudulent misrepresentation. Okay, you're trying to hustle the person. It's not they do not need the product, but you are selling it to them to for your own your gains. You're lying for them for your own gain. Lying for that's a classic case of lying for yourself. Or even giving that kind of just flat out check.
Okay,
one at a time, yes. We go to.
How much does that question depend on your family's financial needs to like, sustain them? Like, if you need that question.
Let me give you a situation. I had a friend in Yeshiva, was working at a, back in the 80s, was working at one of these small camera shops in Manhattan. Okay? It was basically lying. It was bait and switch. All the classic stuff. Bait and switch. Lying. It wasn't really a real night. It was a gray market camp. It was just lie. Every transaction was all based on lie. He was obligated to quit that job and find a new job. Simple as that. That's straight or law. Okay? The sheker is a straight fabrication. And then there's a indirect allowing the person to get into a, even if there's no objective financial loss, okay? For example, a person, a gentile walks into your shop. You have a kosher shop, but you haven't had some trace meat that you're about to either send off to Walmart and wall bounds, whatever, to your producer, to your non-kosher distributor. And a guy, clearly a non-Jewish person, says, I'm not Jewish, but I want to taste. What is black kosher? Maybe I want to taste it. And it doesn't make a difference to him. And you sell them at the same price you would get selling non-kosher. So you're not making a financial profit. You're not even allowed to do that.
Isn't that you don't
want to
misrepresent what kosher is, right?
No, but you can't. So there's no taste difference. You have the meat is not kosher because of a lack of technicality.
Right, but
it tastes no. It looks the same.
Right, but then you could put butter in it or whatever.
No, you didn't. No, it's just like it's not. It's meat that was slaughtered but became invalid after the fact. Okay, there's all kinds of laws of kosher. Okay, it's like the steak is identical. You don't make a profit on. You sell them at the reduced rate you want to sell to your non-kosher super, distributor. You're not to say. You're not to tell. You're not to like kosher. You cannot do that. You cannot fraudulently. You have to tell even to a gentile full representation. Cannot do that. Even if there's no financial gain. Okay? So you see on one hand there's a tremendous emphasis for MS and not hustling people. On the other hand, but if it's for to maintain the emotions of a person, you do concern that. A woman's wedding day. And this bride, not so attractive. bride can be attractive. And you go up to her and you look at her and say, you know, this dress looks fantastic.
What's wrong with that?
You
said there's two schools of thought. There's Shammai, right?
Right. And Basil said, all right, that's okay. This is my focus on the Gorto. So Basil says, you say you are a Kala Nava, that's beautiful, and...
Shammai changes the subject, more or less, right?
Well, there's okay. Yeah, you don't. If it ain't true, you don't say it. Okay. There's a whole Talmudic discussion. But the bottom line is that this is a case of actively going in and just telling a lie for the benefit of the emotional well-being of the woman, which is what we hold by. I'm not gonna go.
We hold by Hillel.
Basically, yes.
And that's where Rambam, I assume, draws his sources from.
Well, from the Gemara of Ketubot, yes. But the Rambam, just in general, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, none of them invent. Everything comes from the Talmud. Any law is in the Talmud, and then they drew it from the Talmud, and then that becomes the Shulchan Aruch. There's nothing. They didn't make any of the stuff up. It's their. Let's say if there's a dispute, they have reason to select one side. Let's say so. That's okay. Let's go on. Yes.
I just have a quick question about the phone thing.
Back to the phone. You like the phone?
Is it a lie to now? I mean, in this day and age, nobody's picking up and taking messages for each other.
It's your cell phone.
So I call you, but you're like, "Ugh, it's Ruth. I don't want to talk to her."
Just
don't answer.
No, that's not a lie. It's not a lie. We're talking about a person picks up the phone, or a person comes to rings the bell. It does that, you know? People actually come to the door. Is Ruth in? No. Because you're protecting their emotional well-being about not feeling that they're rejected. Now, let's go back to the case of embarrassment.
Wait, I'm sorry. Yes. So with the wedding dress, when you say that, so according to Ron, are you supposed to say it?
If the woman, in fact, is not so beautiful,
yeah.
I mean, then yeah, you still say it.
You do say it. You must say it.
That is a question. The can you say it versus must you say it? I don't have that clear. I don't know. Because part of it is but why are you saying it? In order to make her feel great on her wedding day, there's a mitzvah of misamachas l'kal. So that's really a requirement. Now, if you can do that some way, you know, just dancing with her. But generally, every woman, if you stage yourself by a collar and you just listen to people coming in, what are they saying to her?
You're so beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful dress.
Right.
Flowing.
Right.
What else do people say to you?
Right. And that's good. That's vital for the whole thing. So the basil says he's saying it. All right.
You look a little
Ruby. The opposite of hippie is Ruby. I never heard that one.
Are you about to lie for political gain as an example? Let's say hypothetically, Israel was not for this. They were to say in Hebrew, kill all the Arabs, as hypothetically. I'm not saying they do that. They don't do that.
Right.
But then in English, say that they're our best friends. Are we able to, or we love the Arabs, right?
Well, that
is. Are we able to lie for political gain in that type of a way?
Well, that really gets to the case of certainly, and one thing that we, the case of the, in like the case of Avram, to avoid getting killed, you certainly can lie. So he did not want to have his head removed from his body by Paro and his men. So he told them, this woman, she is my sister. He did. He did to, he said that flat out. Yes.
So,
certainly, that's certainly the case. So therefore, in Israel, it was very existence of life and death. Yes.
But,
absolutely.
But like, you know, during the Holocaust, and you were asked if you were a Jew.
What about then? The question really was to have a baptismal certificate.
No, right?
Not allowed
to birth, period.
No, we're talking about just as a
to have a certificate, and it's not necessarily
much. Yes.
There may have been some other complication, but generally to pass the Gentile, that's fine. But there are other. That gets into some complicated issues in regards to the realm of idolatry. I mean, for example, could a guy go into a church and take uh, in communion to act as a, like the Muranos did. You know, when the, during the Inquisition of 1492, they had a tremendous amount of Jews acted as, you know, faked their conversion to Roman Catholicism to avoid being burnt.
Is that a lot or not?
That's not a simple yes or no question.
I thought there were certain criteria that...
The problem is, according to many authorities, most authorities, Christianity is idolatry. And there's something you have to give your life for. First, before conversion to Islam, which is not idolatry because they have a truly monotheistic religion, would be a different case. That's a complexity. Let's deal with the case of our daily living. I don't know.
I always thought about that, though. I mean, like, if you were really in that time.
No, it's a horrible situation, yeah. It's a good question. I have to do more. I'm not prepared to give a comprehensive answer. Let's go back to the, what's up with the not telling about where you had Shabbos lunch at to avoid mucho traffic over at their house? What's that about? How's that fit in?
You tell the truth, it's going to cost someone else, so therefore you lie.
What happens if it's out of selfish motives, such as, well, I want to keep on getting that invite.
Right, I want to keep it all to myself.
Exactly.
Well, the key thing here, in this area, everything's about motivation. He does it to really, to protect, so they will not be constantly bothered as being the Holiday Inn to everybody on the West Side, let's say. You know, in a certain situation, you know, people do, you know, say for their people there are just, you know, when it comes to hospitality, they're tremendously given. And you can really, and they have a hard time saying no. And you know that. So you sort of not, you know, you say, yeah, where were you? Oh, I ate in. Oh, I got together with a friend. We had a Friday night dinner together. Because you're really trying to protect them. So how does that fit into the, lying schematic that we have so far?
What if then they later find out that you actually were at that place?
Well, you have to use your safe. Obviously, the goal is not to tell a lie that gets found out half an hour later. That does not call the test lying. We're doing that you're being successful in your lying here. You know,
you're a good liar, Ruth.
Right.
I taught my bad.
Right. No, absolutely. If you're
going to lie.
You know, if you say to your wife, you look fat. That's not a good lie. You know.
Right? The fat doesn't make you look fat. The fat makes you look fat.
Right. Okay, so yes, we're talking about you can effectively deliver this. Okay, you're mishanemim the shalom. You're changing it in order for the. So what really is the principle here? The Rambam here separates it being a separate category.
You can lie for the sake of someone else. You can lie to protect someone else. And trying to figure out the other two.
What? You can lie, to kind of preserve a mitzvah. I mean, the mitzvah.
Is this a mitzvah?
Of entertaining guests is a mitzvah.
Well, it is a mitzvah. So then you should just the opposite. They should keep on entertaining more guests.
Yeah, but if you exhaust them, then they will not be able to continue that mitzvah. They will not. There's a chance that they would stop performing that mitzvah to the best of their abilities. Like, you can't be a great... I mean, there are very few people who are great hostesses to 40 people as they can be for 10 people.
What good is going to come of telling the truth in this case? It's going to hurt someone else, and someone else is not really going to benefit from that information, so...
Yeah. You're arguing. Let's just say, and then everybody goes, come on down! And everybody's sort of abusing... You know,
the potential for abuse is greater than possibly, you know, that this person could be put upon could be a greater burden to them than if, you know, praising their hospitality. I mean, that's a great thing to do, but...
Okay, well, first of all, to praise their hospitality is a mitzvah. Part of the Adrach Mocha is just you, like, you're concerned about your own honor, you should convey the honor of others. Unless the guy's a noted hey, person who hates the person, you don't share. But if the person, you generally speak good of your fellow Jew. And if you had a wonderful meeting at Michael Doan's house. It's unbelievable. But if you know people are going to, it's going to be a tremendous burden that everybody comes marching on down to Michael Doan's house every Shabbos, and he's going to have to be, he'll be put in a situation that he has to say no, that'll be a negative. Yes?
That's the real question. In other words, there's a lot of assumptions built in this. You're saying that can the person talk about where they work for Shabbat lunch, knowing that if they say where they were and how great it was, it's definitely going to cause.
Well, obviously, if the case says no, then of course it is not to do the
right. In other words, it's not. So, what the real question is if you know it's going to cause some measure of harm.
Right.
The real principle can be applied to anything outside of just.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the bottom line is that if you tell them the truth, it's going to cause another person, as Michael said, harm.
You don't do it.
You don't do it. You don't do it. Okay? So, what's the other one? Somebody asked what you're learning. And you don't feel it's you don't want to answer questions on it. You lie. I'm not learning that area. I'm not learning that part. I'm not learning that massage. You don't answer questions. Why are you allowed to do that?
Because you're not lying about what you're learning. You're actually lying about what you are currently having to have an interest in. So in other words, if you're reading a portion or you're studying a portion that's sensitive, say, for your own personal life, you don't want to necessarily bring attention to that.
Well, that seems to be the other one. That seems to be going to the... He says, because you don't want to be... If you tell him I'm learning this particular area, let's say I'm learning the area of lying in the Shulchan Aruch, but I don't feel prepared to answer every single lying question that any person can think of, right? So I said, I'm just learning some areas I know that person will find uninteresting. Whatever it is, okay? Fill in the blank, okay? I'm learning about pro bono, okay? Conversation is over. No, it's not a harm. If he doesn't want to answer... Yeah, Michal?
Yes?
Oh, I thought you spoke. Sorry.
So you're saying when you come specifically to the scenario of learning, the principle of harm is negated. You can essentially say, I don't want to tell you and lie about whatever it is, regardless.
He just says he doesn't want to answer questions in this topic. And if he says, you're doing that area about lying? What about such and such and such and such and asking 43 questions? So you can say you're allowed to lie. Now, either because he's concerned that he will not be able to answer the questions comprehensively, right?
Or?
I don't know if he doesn't want to be bothered. The Ram does not give you a factor here.
Because this is unsatisfactory versus the other logic. It doesn't. There's no correlation. No sense at all.
Oh. Right, so we have to analyze it, yes?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, do you want to respond to Rakhani? You want to say something first?
I don't care.
Okay,
Mike,
okay.
All right, so what I wanted to say is that what I was thinking, and this happened to me once actually, so that's why I think this is what applies, that you say what you're learning and you really don't know, and then they start asking you questions and you can't answer them, and you start to feel foolish, and so it sort of is like demoralizing, and it could actually make people less likely to want to continue to learn. And so perhaps out of a concern that is what would happen is why that was...
Right, so that's correct. Either there's a covet of Torah. In other words, if people ask you questions about a Torah, you cannot give an intelligent answer, just don't give an answer. You're really because ultimately people's appreciation of Torah will not look forward.
That would imply then the question should be the other way around. Nobody should be allowed to ask what someone's learned. That's the only way this works.
No.
Think about many of our families where some of us are the rabbis in the family, right? Most of our families are not observant, right? What if we can't intelligently talk to their questions? They don't know not to ask the question. They're curious.
Well, you still need an answer. You have a rabbi.
Well, you can.
Good answer. If you don't feel you have a compelling answer, no, that's a great question. I will look into that and get back to you. No, because look, I mean, it's not realistic. A person has been involved in serious Judaism for a couple of years. It's not realistic for you to have 20 years of education in 2 years. It's just not happening. And you're talking to an adult person. So no. But again, the principle here could be, as what Raquel was saying, is that the idea is that they're lying about that in order to protect the honor of the Torah, that you should not give a third-rate answer. You don't feel confident to speak authoritatively on the topic. It's one possibility. Another possibility is that, the question is, are you allowed to lie if you don't want to be bothered? Is that legitimate? I just don't want to talk to that person. That's annoying. Habits, right? Have you ever met an annoying Jew? Maybe once or twice, right?
What does Ram Ram say?
He's saying we have to extract it. We have to make a.
Does this only apply to Torah learning or any learning? Or someone like, what do you do for a living? Are you allowed to be like, just not answer them because you don't feel like answering?
Professional tennis.
Well, that's what I'm asking you guys.
I'm
going to
bet it's a yes, but I just want to know why.
Well, we have to give away. We haven't given an answer yet. Yes?
let's say, you know, you're a great scholar and people depend on you for answers and you want them to come to you, but in this case, you're studying something, you're entitled to study it, but you don't want people to feel like they can't come to you, like you don't have answers. And also, by the same token, what can you say to them? If you give them a non-answer or you give them a wrong answer, then
those are both, you can't do that.
Then those are both negatives. So in this case, why do they need to know about your learning other than their own, you know, personal curiosity? So it's, the question doesn't really serve a great purpose for them. And any answer you give is probably, especially if you're not confident, is not going to help them at all. So
right. Let's say they have, if you're doing the topic and you're not saying you're not prepared because you're not done. You're in the middle of your study.
Yeah.
So either one of the other options. Either if you say that, you know, well, let's say it's like, look, it's a great, you know, I'm doing this topic, I just began, I'm not really comfortable. There's an embarrassment factor, which is really the other case, which to make clearly is that the situation where a person will be embarrassed that this is an extreme case. It happens all the time with lying for a classic case. A woman is obligated to lie every month. When is that? Married woman is obligated to lie every month.
Anita.
Lie like a skunk.
What?
Anita. Well, okay, Michael, when is a woman obligated to, when is a married woman, when is a married Jewish woman obligated to lie every month?
Anita.
Be specific.
Whether she's going to mikvah or not.
Right. All these things relate to her own personal sexuality.
Personal,
okay? Not a lie. It's on an absolute need to know basis. So I can give you a situation. I have a situation because I have adult children.
They don't need to know.
Oh, that would be a little bit, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I do.
They
right?
Need to know.
Oh, I
see. Right. Is that very clear? Because, my wife goes shopping.
Right.
And then Matthew Sharp doesn't have a word. Where is all the bands? Whatever. They're not picking up all that. If we had, let's say, teenage daughters, then you have to go to a whole new level of that. That's a class, because it's embarrassing that's an area which is by design has to be private. Your sexuality is something which is, by design, is a private area. Thus, it's on a need-to-know basis. No, Torah learning, I think the principle that Raquel brought up is that you're trying to, you do not want to be asked in an area where you are not prepared, and therefore the Torah is going to look bad. So therefore, you say, I'm not doing that topic.
That's what
Rambam
says?
Well, he's
lying, though.
What does Rambam say? Rambam says you were engaged in the tractate of Nida. The tractate of Nida was one of the, and the guy asked you, what are you learning? And you say, and he says, I am learning the tractate of Mikvah about the laws of what is a kosher mikvah. Why? In order to avoid that person asking you questions on the topic of Nida. I don't tell you why you're avoiding it, either because you're not prepared, whatever, you don't want to get into it. So one good reason is the honor of Torah. You're not prepared to give a good answer, or good, you're not to be to be able to provide a comprehensive answer. You're not to lie for that. To avoid that negative. Certainly in your personal embarrassment is another factor. All these things are, but here, what's the conference? Well, all these things, personal embarrassment, all these things are really elements which are vital for the entire community to exist. Basically, without the lubrication of strategic lying, you cannot have a functioning society. You cannot have people who are embarrassed. You have a situation where people are angry at each other. You know what I'm saying? You're not able to have a community otherwise. So MS had to take a back seat. One of the midrashim, midrash, is and I'll end with this. But I'll do a couple more of the practice. The midrash says that if you say "Bereishis bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz," God created the heaven and earth. Elokim is God as divine justice. Strict in. Then chapter 2 it says, Hashem Elohim, will you give up? That's the idea of God's compassion. Was joined. So the Midrash says, why was that? Because God initially wanted to create the world with strict justice and realized that the world could not exist without having what? Compassion and chesed and for shalom to exist. So basically, it was in a certain sense a concession to have a civilization that you must have. You must have a line. Okay, so let me deal with so those are all the basic frameworks. So if a person's lying for a clear material gain, either directly or by indirectly, indirect manipulation, that is forbidden. I'm lying to this guy to get the job, even though I'm not worth it. Okay? I give the person a resume that has it went to Harvard University. I didn't go to Harvard University. It's awesome. It's forbidden.
There's a gray area here, though. I mean, that is okay. Hold on.
So what is, so classic case. Upper West Side. So how old is she? You're never going to know. Right? Well, how old is he? Same case, okay? What's up with that? So there's a psak. You have 2 years. Because in the legal, an assumption that person is already, in other words, if there's an assumption that there is, everybody doesn't tell the truth, okay? Then you can lie within the realm of the, can't shave a decade off, but 2 years is viewed as being a legitimate number, according to one post. Because the assumption is they're lying, so within 2 years is a reasonable quantity. It's not a distortion of reality. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
What about though for older women who are, because the difference in terms of women's fertility between age of 35 and 37 is massive.
Okay, so that I'm just saying. We're talking about for the vanity factor.
Oh,
okay. The vanity factor. A person wants to, you know. Because the other thing is sometimes a guy or a girl gets dismissed for like really stupid. No. You know, there's no greater stupidity in the realm than that we see in the world of dating. You know, so she's 3 months older than her. I can't go out. I mean, you know, people are like idiotic. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. So it would be a good time to lie. You know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, to sell yourself, like, you might not be, perfect at everything that you're selling yourself at in an interview. But,
To put your best foot forward, to highlight your strong points is, of course, but to, are you trained in a certain language? Sure! Think, I will do study when I get the job. I'll do it on the job, you know what I mean?
But, I know, for example, if you have a product that you've done many accounts in one specific aspect of it, but you've never done it using let's say you've done it with consumers but not with physicians.
Okay.
That's a big difference because there's a different dynamic between it.
Right.
So and then they ask you, have you done it with physicians? And you say yes. Is that a lie?
That's a yes. Yes. Can't do that.
Well, how to the 2 year thing? Does that apply to anything, or just 2 years?
The point being is that where there is no, where okay, there is, in America, this thing called puffing. Puffing means you're expanding the goodness, and it factored in. There is an idea of the assumption of people. They understand there's being that there's a little amount of exaggeration. Okay. Right, so if you've gone to a funeral and you heard a eulogy, so the law is the same thing. You're allowed to exaggerate a little. The person was a great exotic. They did tested every single day. They learned 43 hours a day. You can't do that. You're allowed to, because the assumption people will factor it down. You know what I'm saying?
So if someone asks you specifically, if someone says to me, how long have you been a voice teacher? Am I allowed to add 2 years?
No. So far as the area of dating.
It's only in dating.
Yeah, it's not as far as that people are in the area of vanity. People are like, well, I only date girls. You know, guys who have, when I speak to guys, I only date girls who have X, Y, Z qualities. You know what I'm saying? And, they're being a little nutty. Okay, you want to come. And let's say just crest over the age was like off by a year and a half. She's
33.
But can't be added. No, that's because it's viewed as not a material change of the situation.
What about the chin
stage?
Yeah.
What? No, that is material. That's a material change.
So then
no matter what. Do you
it's completely arbitrary.
But then
No.
Men and women then almost get, have a double standard in that.
And guys too.
Yeah.
The guys get no.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. Okay, hold on. Let me share.
think it's terrifying.
Okay, so people are very offended by that. People are very offended by that, but the reality is because we want to be that these are apartheidful people in their 20s and 30s. If there is a, you know, a creepy 55-year-old guy talking to a 43, you know, a 24-year-old girl, you are ensuring that this is a woman who will not have an opportunity to engage in the Jewish community. Because she will not come back. Ever. Ever. So you just say, well, you know, he's very athletic, you know. No, there, you know, guys and girls can't care about age, but there's material fact. What I'm trying to point out is that so far as the issue of misrepresentation, if it's within the accepted realm of people's exaggeration, it's allowed. In other words, one does not have, if you're giving a eulogy for a relative, you can extend a little bit because people are expecting you're going to, what they call in America, puff the product a little bit. If you're trying to sell somebody as a shidduch, there people are going to factor that you're doing some selling here. Hello, I'm trying to move product here.
All right. Yeah. Well, you get caught in the lie, and someone asks you straight out if you're lying. In other words, you know, oh, I heard da da da. You're 33, and or whatever. Or so and so told me you're 33. And the situation is, can you lie after you've already been busted? If your cover is blown, can you lie to cover that? That's what I want
to know. Right, so look, lying to cover the embarrassment factor.
Oh. Because then it's like they're really asking you in a direct way, are you lying? Are you allowed to be like, no? You know?
I thought you were 31.
I mean, I feel like this is a really funky little area here because.
It is. Right,
I mean,
so,
aren't you accepting a universal lie on the community when you allow 2 years' margin there?
No, I'm not saying. Okay, hold on. Let me clarify. I brought that point up to point out there is a societal expectation. You know what I'm saying?
But there shouldn't be.
But there is. I guess what he's saying.
It goes based upon the reality. The reality there is.
But how mad would you be if you got set up with someone and your information was they're 31, but they're really 33?
I'd be
just people. They'd be like, wait, who is this person who lied to me and told me that they're this and not this? That person gets like completely disqualified as an honest person, and the whole thing is already messed up because it's based on
lies. All of this requires you to use your safe word.
Right.
You have to understand that if you're gonna get found out, then you don't say that.
Wait, there's a difference between whether you're setting someone up and you're saying yes, they're 33 instead of 35, and the person who actually is being set up saying I'm 33 and in fact they're 35. There's a distinction.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
So
it's totally fine to lie, even within a range of 5 years.
That already is a misrepresentation.
You have to be honest in the relationship.
Okay. No, the whole bottom line is that we say you have to be honest about the things which are material and vital in a relationship, but the things which are secondary and accidental as far as the person's emotional well-being, whether they look fat or not in a particular dress or an outfit, if the guy, if the girl, you know, the women, the ultimate line at the back was, woman said this, so he says,
honey, I don't care.
What is to be gained by someone saying something negative to someone that is of such fleeting importance? That's a key point. His wife says she is just fine with confession. After 15 years of marriage, we both realize that we may have exaggerated at times. Since Tamara Wilson, 48, who owns the public relations agency. Her standard lie? Oh, you are so strong. Okay? So the bottom line is that there is... If something's not material and it's just to give the person emotional peace and well-being, you can do that. If it's a material distortion, that's awesome. I mean, that's forbidden. I mean, I think give you a, you know, within, you know, 45 minutes, give you a framework that there is no the idea that honesty is a bad policy. Turns out, no, that's not necessarily true. Avram, if he told Paro, she's my wife. Avram, the Book of Rachel would have been very, very short. It would have been a postcard, okay? So, there's a time that you must lie, okay? Marvin, last question.
Changing one's appearance, also part of misrepresentation, and that goes to the plastic surgery issue, that goes to hair dyeing, that goes to, you know, having a nose job or something like that.
Okay, so that's all right. Good question. We can't cover everything. So we've run out of time. So